Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. I'm your host, Jamal Brown. You have tuned in to another exciting show of the Gifts of Freedom radio show. I'd like to give a special hello to our show's producer, Ms. Leslie Gist, who works tirelessly behind the mic and behind the computer setting up these fantastic interviews and great topics that we bring to you on a weekly basis. Today is Thursday, June 16th, the Black Fact of the Day. Denmark Vesey conspired to lead enslaved Africans in a revolt against their inhumane treatment in South Carolina on this day in 1822. You can find out more black facts at www.black365.us. We will be speaking today with Cheney University's professor, Miss Felicia Seaman, and we'll be finding out more information about a book fair that's coming up this weekend at the university. Ms. Seaman, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am on the line.
Fantastic. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Seaman?
Actually, it's Simone.
My apologies.
That's perfectly okay. And I'm not on the line alone. I'm on the line with our student president of the NAACP. Her name is Ann Frazier, and I'm not a professor at Cheney. I'm an alum.
Oh, man. I'm glad we got that straight. Ms. Frazier, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. It's a pleasure to have you both on the line with us. And also, I had another correction in there. The book fair is not this weekend, but the end of next month. Anyway, I'd like to start off my interviews by asking a simple question, that question being, who is? So we'll let you both answer, but Ms. Simone, if you can answer first, who is Ms. Simone?
Okay, well, Mrs. Simone is, that's okay. I'm an alum in this venue. I'm an alum of Cheney University and a huge supporter of our students at our university, as well as other HBCUs and just children all around. I'm an educator. My husband and I developed a child care center, which is down the street from Cheney University of Pennsylvania, and it is there solely for the purpose of supporting students, faculty, staff, and alum who have children who require quality child care. So I am one of the volunteer advisors for the student NAACP chapter, which Anne is the president of, and I've been assisting, advising them for about, I guess it's been about 6 years now. And this conference, because the book fair is one facet of the education conference, this conference is in its fourth year, and the students developed it and planned it, and I'm happy to be of assistance, especially when students are doing something as positive as something like this. So I'm going to try to, as much as possible during this discussion, defer to the student who should be talking more than I.
Not a problem. Miss Ann, Miss Frazier, if you don't mind answering the same question, who is Miss Frazier?
My name is Ann Frazier. I'm the president of the student chapter. This is my second year being president. We recently had elections. I'm also this year's conference chair. I'm a junior majoring in political science and sociology at the university.
Okay. Miss Simone, tell us a little bit more about the child care center that you and your husband established. What was some inspiring factors or determining factors that made that come about?
Okay. Well, like a lot of parents, our daughter, Jordan, was a child whose birthday ran after September, after the deadline to enroll. So we were always attempting to find, you know, other alternatives to ensuring that she stayed ahead of the game. Briefly, while I was employed at the university as a faculty person, we also recognized that there were a lot of students who required child care because in the midst, you know, during their tenure working or going to college at the university, that was just a part of life that sometimes presented itself. So I made a lot of godchildren while I was there, and the child care center that was on campus initially had eventually subsided, and there was nothing available there. So in the midst of trying to ensure that our daughter had some quality care while the school districts were going through a lot of the turmoil and issues that they were, it became a twofold effort to try to ensure that there was quality programming available for young people to be able to continue their college careers without any, you know, breaks in there because they may or may not have had child care. And the name of the child care center is called the Gift Preparatory School. And in that instance, it's called, we named it that because we are truly in the business of preparing our young folks for the world that they are going to become a part of. And it's interesting. We only have 8 children right now. We don't anticipate having more than 15 in this space until we expand. We're housed at the Thornberry AME Church, which is one of the first black churches in the Delaware County and the only one down the street from Cheney University, which we have a great relationship with the pastor and congregation. And it's a nice, intimate setting where our children are being challenged. They take home homework every single day, packets on weekends and during breaks, and you can tell from how well they're progressing exactly what we're able to do with our children if we just practice some discipline and put our minds to it.
Sounds like a mini university.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Speaking of universities, Ms. Frazier, if you don't mind, give us a little background on Cheney University for those who may not know what it is and, you know, the history of it.
Okay. Cheney University is the first historically black institution for people of color, founded by Quakers in 1837. I'm not sure what else you want to know.
That's good. Yeah, I just wanted to get into the fact that it's an HBCU.
Okay.
tell us what an HBCU is for those who may not know what an HBCU is.
Yes, and HBCU is a historically black college or institute or university.
Got it, got it. And tell us a little bit more about the NAACP, the organization that you are the two-time chair of, and the things that you all get done there on the campus and in the community.
Okay, we were reactivated in 2005, so this is going on our sixth year. When we reactivated, we have five initiatives. We really focus on in our chapter, political awareness. And so what we do a lot is try to get our students registered to vote. We do a lot of letting them know who they can vote for, what are their options, bringing different candidates on campus, having debates and forums so that students can meet with the candidates, interact with them, and then know, you know, so that they can be informed voters. We also have our education conference every year. This is going on our fourth year. Education is a big part of what we do. As well as this year, we're now instituting more things about our health because health is not merely the absence of disease. It's about your environment. It's about your lifestyle. It's about, you know, your social being and your surroundings. And so we try to incorporate all that in our chapter. So within the community, we do a lot of community service, going out to different institutions. We also try to help everybody, you know, because on our campus we have voting polls on campus, but we're split into two counties. And so half of our students can go and vote, you know, a short distance away, about 5 minutes, and the other half has to get driven somewhat off campus to vote. And so we make sure that we take care of all of that too.
That's some pretty strange business. business there. Mrs. Simone, did you have anything to add about Cheney University? And
Of course. Well, we're again, like Anne expressed, we're the oldest institution of higher education. We were initiated out in Southwest Philadelphia initially. A lot of people aren't aware of that. And then eventually moved once we joined the state system in 1982. We've had the greatest folks in the world involved with the university, from Leslie Pinckney Hill to Wade Wilson to Miss Coppin. We've had tons of people who were actively engaged and involved, and of course, you know, the Ed Bradleys and the Jim Ellis's, who the movie Pride was depicted by Terrence Howard. And the university is a great place, you know, but it is a state-owned institution. So a lot of what the education conference is about and a lot of what the NAACP student chapter, the students tend to want to take on because they're pretty educated about some of the process that we find ourselves in as the only black college in the state system of higher education. It has a lot to do with, you know, lack of funding. You know, we're in a budget crunch right now where we're waiting for the governor to determine if some of our programs are going to be cut. And, you know, it's always a battle, an uphill battle dealing with administration. So, you know, there's a lot going on at Cheney, but I'm excited to say that it's a great university. I graduated from there in 2000, worked there for about 6 or 7 years prior to my husband and I developing the child care center, and I'm still there. And we need alum and folks who are advocates and of the student. Who are advocates of HBCUs, and we need people to come back and make sure that these type of places are going to still exist when their children are going to require somewhere to go, and to make sure that they're funded adequately and treated equitably. So we have a lot going on at the university. This education conference is really an attempt to try to push into 3 days for the youth and adults, because it's intergenerational, just a vast amount of knowledge about what's going on in the educational world as well as culturally, because we touch on a lot of cultural topics as well.
I hear you. You threw out one name a little bit earlier, Miss Leslie Pinckney Hill. If you could elaborate on her and who she was and how she contributed to life and our experience.
Okay. Well, Dr. Pinckney Hill is a male. Very, very instrumental, along with being one of the principals, because back then Cheney University was a school initiated as a boarding school, and instrumental in a way where he pretty much was responsible for setting a tone of exactly what they anticipated Cheney University now, but back then the Institute for Colored Youth to be. Very, very dynamic program if you look at the history where the students were studying the classics and they were studying things that unfortunately a lot of our students don't have an opportunity to study these days, again, because sometimes being the only HBCU in the state system with 13 other schools that are predominantly white, a lot of what, in my opinion, is supposed to be done becomes a little watered down. So Dr. Hill was amazing just in trying to, within an entire political structure that was probably very demanding back then, really maintain a standard for the students and the staff, which is one of the reasons that Cheney University was probably responsible for educating just about most of the people who work in the tri-state area as teachers and who have become
wow.
principals and administrators. Everybody knows somebody who was educated at Cheney.
Wow.
You know?
Another name I wanted to throw out there was Octavius Cato. If you could, are you familiar with that name?
Yeah, definitely. We have to be familiar with those names.
Right.
We don't have any choice. But yeah, very, very, huge in the movement of voting, which we probably garner a lot of our inspiration from, and making sure that people were registered to vote, and spoke really well about some of the issues that we've had to go through on campus, along with our sister institution, our sister HBCU, Lincoln University. We had to go to court to get polls closer to our campus because we were driving our students every voting session to miles away, and like you mentioned earlier how it sounded like pretty funny business. We kind of knew that there was some funny business going on, and we went to court. They're not directly on the campus, but they are in walking distance, and now we have to be concerned about redistricting and all of those
right.
other things that come up. So, again, I think we garner a lot of that spirit and inspiration from folks that have, come before us. Because there were some dynamic people who were a part of Cheney University or the Institute of Colored Youth being where it is. So we have to make sure that we uphold those standards.
Awesome. Let's transition the conversation to this conference coming up. Tell us the purpose and mission of it.
And I was going to say, I guess I'll talk now. Thank you, Ms. Simone. Well, the conference has always been just to educate people in the community, people who are already in school, people, just people in general about our culture, about our history, about our educational needs. This year, we have an intergenerational approach, even though every year our conference is for students as well as adults. This year, we're really trying to incorporate more workshops that encompass both students and adults so that we can discuss solutions to problems, and we can discuss these issues that are going on culturally as well as, educationally. And so every year it has a different theme. This year the theme is the reinvention of the HBCU, which is a piggyback off of last year's theme, the state of the HBCU. And so last year we came together, we talked about what was going on, and this year we're coming together again to, what are the solutions and how we follow up behind what we did last year.
Awesome, awesome. How was attendance at last year's event?
Last year's event was really good. It was actually the biggest conference that we've had thus far. Before it was 2 days, it was maybe a Friday and a Saturday. Our second year was a Friday and a Saturday. Last year was the first year that we did 3 days. We had students come from off campus. They got to come up and stay on campus because it was over the summer. We had middle school, high school, and college students stay on campus. And this year, it just got even bigger. And so last year, we maybe had just over 100 people. This year, we're looking to double, if not triple, that number.
That's awesome. Tell me about the role that alumni play and celebrities and just, you know, again, alumni. How significant or insignificant is their contributions in terms of numbers?
The alumni contribution to our conference is immeasurable. They help out. We have scholarships that we provide to students who otherwise cannot afford to come to the conference, and they do a good job in getting together in the local chapters as well as the national chapter and helping raising funds to send some students to come to the conference, some students from different areas, from Jersey, from Chester. We have alumni giving funds to come. This year we actually have two alumni helping to plan the conference, which is one is Ms. Simone and one is Dr. Robinson, who is also a graduate of the university. He's been a big help in helping us. And so, like, help in terms of planning the conference and then attending the conference and making sure that students are able to come and receive what we're trying to give, they are an absolute big help. We could not thank them enough.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Earlier we talked about the Quaker contribution to the founding of the school. Are there still Quaker involvement there? I was just run across my mind.
Yeah, actually, there is. Richard Humphreys, who was the person who bequeathed in his will the $10,000 to initiate the development of the Institute for Colored Youth, has a fund that is named in his honor, and that's provided for students who are scholarshiped in, you know, according to whatever standards may be specified in the scholarship. And just recently, the building that is also named in his honor was converted. I believe it's being converted into a residence hall for those students, which are called the Humphrey Scholars. So the people who are responsible for his estate are also very actively involved in, you know, ensuring that the university is maintained from the student scholarship standpoint.
Awesome. Now, I have another question, and I'm just going to preface it by saying you may have to forgive me for my ignorance on this, but were the Quakers then and Mr. Humphreys, were these African-American Quakers?
From the history, the records express that Mr. Humphreys was from the West Indies. I would personally presume
he's black.
That he was black. He was a brother.
He was black.
you know, but that there's never been any pictures that I've been ever able to find. But, you know, from the origin, I would presume, yes.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, is the history, the school history and that type of stuff, is this a part of the curriculum at all? It's interesting to me that there's no statues and monuments and murals of Mr. Humphreys and others. But just, again, is the history of the school a part of any sort of curriculum? Do freshmen, if you will, have to learn this type of stuff?
And you probably could speak to that better than I could.
Yes. Every freshman who comes in has to take two semesters of freshman seminar. And in freshman seminar, you learn how to survive through college as well as you learn the history of the university. That's a part of the freshman seminar curriculum. So every freshman has to take that course.
Awesome. We spoke again of alumni and city contribution, all that good stuff. Are the families of Mr. Hill, Dr. Hill, and the Kako family, are they involved in any way?
Well, no, not necessarily. We have alum and other folks who are involved, but more from a giving standpoint to ensure that students are able to attend the conference, which we actually have scholarships still for middle, high school, and college students who are interested in attending. We can give you that information prior to us hanging up. But not necessarily. There's there's a small history that speaks about the families of those folks, but again, you know, it's probably not as well publicized, you know, similar to what you guys are doing and what the Gift of Freedom is about. It's not as well publicized as it should be. And, you know, we also hope within the context of this conference that, you know, getting people out to the campus will be just another means of being able to educate folks about the first institution of higher education for black folks. Because to be honest, you know, a lot of people in this generation, I would argue, my generation, I'm 36, aren't very, very knowledgeable about it because it's not publicized as well as it could be. You know, but right. I have to tell students every day, you know, you wouldn't be able to walk down the street at Temple if it wasn't for Cheney. So you have to make sure that you pay homage to those that came before you.
Certainly, certainly. Well, we at the Gifts of Freedom certainly would love to reach out and see if we can be some sort of bridge to tying in these the families, at least, of these important icons with the campus and strengthening the bonds and, you know, doing what we can in order to, you know, again, establish those bonds and move forward. tell us a little bit more details about the conference, the speakers, topics, and those things that will be covered there on the 30th of July.
Yes. Well, the conference actually takes place the last weekend in July. It's July 29th through the 31st, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the first event, this year we have special events. So we have four special events for this year. The first one is the second annual Vibes and Voices Open Mic Night, and that's open to everybody, featuring two local artists from Philadelphia. One is Akil Foster and the other is Cash Kaumba. We also have on Saturday, we have our Jim Ellis Health and Wellness Expo. And that Jim Ellis Health, Wellness, and Fitness Expo, it will have screenings and vouchers and different agencies who are committed to health, wellness, and fitness. We also have going on at the same time the CU African American Adult and Children's Book Fair, featuring this year the East Coast Black Age of Commerce Convention. Both events are free and open to the public. And then we have an ongoing effort, which is our Too Cute for Words Baby Picture Contest, and it's open to children from 1 day old to 5 years old. Anyone who's interested can submit their entries online, and the reception will be held on the Sunday of the conference. Different workshops we have. Wow, we have so many great workshops this year that I don't even know where I'm going to start. So let's see. We have one workshop called Politics in the Black Community, and that will discuss politics within the Black community on all facets. So not only Black politicians, but just different issues that we go through within the Black community, and then the politics within them and why that is and how we could change it.
Will that be a panel, or is there a key speaker?
Yeah,
for that?
That's going to be a panel, and we have great speakers.
Who are some of the panel participants?
Let's see. For politics, we have Dr. Weldon McWilliams. He's a professor at Cheney University. We have Dr. Ife Williams, who is another professor at Cheney University. Robert Mansfield, he ran for governor, I believe, of Pennsylvania. He ran for governor and in the first election. And then we also have Umar Johnson, Umar Abdullah Johnson.
Let me slip this in there. Is the conference going to be televised or broadcast or webcast in any sort of way?
I'm going to defer to Ms. Simone.
we are working with some of the local and surrounding area newspapers. I have to be honest with you, it is really difficult, Mr. Brown, to get folks to come out. Ann mentioned one workshop topic, politics in the Black community, but we also have topics specific to
middle.
to middle and high school students, but specifically, like, the topics are probably a bit more controversial than most would have a preference to televise. It really talks about some of the issues, and some of the issues sometimes have a lot to do with, some of the supremacy problems and things that are ongoing issues and have been for a very long time. So we're hoping that we'll get some public relations to come out, but, we do garner relationships with radio stations like WURD and 3CTV and folks like that.
Awesome. Well, we're about to the last 60 seconds or so left in the show. One question Ms. Giss wanted me to ask, will there be any public transportation to the event, or what's the best way folks can get there to support the event?
Yes, definitely. The 120 from 69th Street runs right directly to Cheney University, and we also anticipate having some shuttle services that will be coming from out of Philadelphia in the form of vans. So we want to make sure that we get people who may not have transportation, get them there. The conference begins July 29th. We have on-campus housing for students, adults, and families. So these are things that you could certainly find out about by contacting either myself and or visiting the website.
Awesome. Again, we are near the close of the show, so if you could, please give out some of that contact information, how folks can get in contact you and in contact with you in order to support the event and the other things that you all have coming up.
Okay. For the conference, July 29th through the 31st at Cheney University, again, my name is Felicia Simone. My phone number is on everything, and that number is 215-669-8560. Again, 215-669-8560. And our website is www.wix.com/Cheney, CHENEYNAACP/home. And again, any information, you can also go on Cheney University's website, cheney.edu, and we're on the scrolling page, and you can just click on there, and it'll take you directly to our website.
Awesome. Ms. Frazier, any contact information you wanted to share with the listening audience?
No, she said it all, but I do want to thank you for letting us be on your show.
Certainly. The pleasure was all mine. Well, if there's not anything else, we would like to, again, thank you from the Gifts to Freedom Radio and wish you much success in this event and your upcoming events, and hopefully we can do a recap after the show and after your event and hear about the fabulous feedback that you all will have for us at that time.
We would love to do that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you once again, and I'd like to thank the listening audience for tuning in to another show of the Gist of Freedom Radio Show. We'll be back at you on Sunday at our regular time. Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you.